Due to problems at our studio, from which our program is streamed to the stations and is our call center, we are unable to bring you a live program tonight. Therefore, we are substituting a previous Kingdom Concepts broadcast.
Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians, called to a higher level of understanding, will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
I'd like to invite you to call in tonight. The call-in number, which we have working, we didn't have it working the last couple of months because of our carrier we had some problems with when we changed carriers, and that's 877-924-7722. That's 877-YAWS-RACE, if you want to remember it that way. That's a toll-free number. I'll give it again, 877-924-7722. My co-host, Pastor Jim Wickstrom, couldn't make it tonight. He's been at a conference, and I did have Pastor Bob Jones to come on, but he also got tied up. So I invited a longtime friend, a Christian identity minister, a longtime patriot, to co-host the program with me tonight, and I think you'll find it very interesting, and that's Pastor Ralph Forbes. Are you there, Ralph?
Yes, I am.
Well, I'd like to welcome you to our Kingdom Concepts.
Well, thank you, Brother Mike.
Ralph, why don't you give us a little bit about your background? You've been in both the patriot movement and the Christian identity message for many, many years, and I know that at least in the view of the establishment, you're considered a controversial person. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your background and how you came to the different conclusions you've come to.
Okay, let me first of all apologize for my voice. I just flew in from Washington when you called, and I'm not even done unpacking yet, so I'm pretty well zonked. So I'm going to do my best.
I appreciate you coming on at this late notice.
Oh, that's fine. I'm glad to do it. My background is, I can't do it in a short period of time, but I can tell you, in 1960, when I had to have a court case just for the right to freedom of speech, through, discovery, I got the, files that the Anti-Defamation League had. I mean, I was like about 20 years old at that time, when you stacked up all of these reports on a desk, they were higher than all of the Los Angeles area telephone books at that time. And if you lived in L.A., you know, you had a lot of phone books because it was such a densely populated area. So,
what kind of activity did you do to get such a large file?
Well, do you really want me to say?
Sure. This is radio.
Let me
talk about
this.
Anything.
Okay, well, let me say this. I found out a lot of truths when I was about 12 years old. And I certainly didn't know everything, but I tried to find out. I've been a truth seeker all my life. And I used to work at grocery stores so I could just get airplane lessons. And the other thing I did is spend all my money on postage trying to contact people that were maligned in a book called Undercover by this Jew agent named Deronian. And I spent, you know, a huge amount of my paycheck on postage, and all the mail came back, but two people were still there. My mail got through to them, Gerald O.K. Smith of the Christian Nationalist Movement and Con McGinley of Common Sense. And so I got a pretty good education from both of those two gentlemen. And by the time I got in the Marine Corps, I got involved, it's a long story there, but I got involved with Commander Lincoln Rockwell, full naval commander in the U.S. Navy, one of the greatest heroes of both World War II and Korea. Of those two wars, he's the most highly decorated fighter pilot. And he, of course, found out that he had been lied to in fighting World War II. And he found out that everything he'd been taught was a lie. What was black was white. What white was black. And he started what's called the American Nazi Party. And I joined up with them while I was still in the Marines. And I can tell you that just before I was discharged in 1960, and I had volunteered for Vietnam, I said, I joined the Marine Corps to go fight communism. I will reenlist if you will guarantee me I can go over to Vietnam and fight communism. And they said, well, Forbes, we can't do that because before your paperwork went through, it will all be over in Vietnam. You know, and that was in 1960. At any rate, so thank God I didn't reenlist, and thank God I didn't go. But they had me in naval intelligence. They would call me in. They'd take me from 29 Palms, drive me all the way across the desert to San Diego. And they had me in the largest building, huge building there in the naval base, which was where naval intelligence was. And I got to know the commanding officer who was in charge of the entire Western Hemisphere intelligence. You know, like half the world for the United States Navy. And so he would ask me what I knew, and I told him what I knew was that communism was Jewish. It was a criminal conspiracy. It wasn't a political philosophy at all, except at the lower levels to deceive people. But actually, it was a criminal conspiracy by a bunch of Jews who were totally satanic, totally atheistic at some levels, but at the highest levels, totally satanic, and that they were the cause of all the wars. They had infiltrated our government. They had spies everywhere. Our country was basically run, say, in a cult fashion by hidden masters who pulled the strings, who were communists. And then I told them that the other movement that the Jews had started with, which was kind of in competition with the communists, which was Zionism, and that was probably the most dangerous movement because it had several things going for it. One, it had deceived most of the Christians in this country and perhaps the world to think that the Jews were God's chosen people, and in truth, they're God's enemies, and that the Jews had also got everybody hornswoggled about these poor 6 million Jews that allegedly were sacrificed in a Holocaust. They didn't even use the word Holocaust and all that sacrifice then, but they were building up to it. And anyway, the bottom line is that this guy, who's the highest person in naval intelligence, I was only a Lance Corporal, but he called me by my first name, or sometimes my last name. And he said, Ralph, he said, I can tell you that you and Commander Rockwell are 100% right. I've been, my entire life, I've been intelligence. I know everything there is to know about communism, who's running this country, and who's infiltrated in the highest places. He says there's evil in the highest places, which, of course, fits in with the epistles, chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6. And he said that everything... He says, everything you're saying is true, but you guys don't even know the half of it. It's worse than you think. But I pray you can win. He said, I don't see how. I wish I knew. I wish I could tell you how you guys can win. But I pray
Ralph,
to God
you win. Let me interrupt you here. We have a caller and probably wanting to ask you a question.
Sure.
Eugene in Wisconsin. Hello? Hello? Is it Eugene?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, welcome to the broadcast. Do you have
taking my call.
Question for Pastor Forbes?
Well, I kind of have a question about Christian identity. Samuel is 2 Samuel 7:10 is one of the verses for it about, you know, God preparing a place for his people, you know, right? Hello?
Yes.
Is that correct? That 2 Samuel 7, I think it's 7:10, about God preparing a place for his people. Right? That's a verse used, right?
It says, moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel and plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more, neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time.
Right. Right. Now, that verse was used by a lot of the pilgrims when they came over here, right? And that is seen as a fulfillment of that prophecy, correct?
Yes, I think that the United States fulfills that prophecy.
Right. Now, what I want now, the question I want to ask is, all the Puritans that came over here on the Mayflower and settled in Massachusetts and Connecticut, they were all without exception, well, not necessarily exception, but they were all Calvinists. And I would like to hear your position on Calvinism.
Well, generally, I think I'd be in agreement with the points of Calvinism. especially those who are the elect. You know, Yahweh has his elect. I believe that that's not only a race, but that's individuals within the race that are chosen or elected. He tells us that you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, which shows an election. See if I can find that verse. Here's John 15:60. Ye have chosen me. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. This is Christ speaking specifically to his apostles, but it does in general, and ordained you that ye should go forth and bring forth fruit, and so on and so forth. We were told over in John 15:19 that I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hated you. And we're told over in Romans that we're chosen for a purpose according to God's election. And so, so I do definitely believe in the Calvinist doctrines of election and predestination.
And how about a limited atonement, that Jesus Christ died only for his elect and not every single man in the world?
Yes, I'd agree with that. I think, first of all, he says over in, oh, I believe it's Hebrews, and help me out, Ralph, if you can remember, that I have come
I can't, to, I couldn't hear what he was saying very much, but I did have some other
to Israel
on the people mm-hmm. that came over here. But I'm not, because you just caught me a very, you know, just back from D.C., and I can't hear the gentleman.
Hello?
Okay, he has some questions about election. Let's distinguish, first of all, and I know this is an involved topic, but between the...
And am I still on the air?
Yes.
Hello?
Hang up and you're I couldn't tell.
What I was really hoping for was, I've heard a lot of appeals from Christian identity pastors to the Puritans and to the Pilgrims and to their coming over here from England being fulfillment of prophecy. And I have never heard a definitive statement from some of the Christian identity pastors on Calvinism. You know, and that's kind of what I was hoping, you know, I'm kind of surprised you have a call, and I'm really glad you did, because that's kind of what I'd like to know, you know, Calvinism, it seems to be very different from what some of the Christian identity pastors preach in regards to things like free will and baptismal regeneration and that kind of stuff, you know.
Okay, well, we have another caller, but let's first try to answer that question, and I thank you for calling. And Ralph, did you have some comments on that?
Yeah, I did. I was going to suggest that the guy, if he can still get the book, I think Pastor Peters used to promote the Light and the Glory, which is a very good history on the Christians coming into New England. And incidentally, I'm descended from them. I had some ancestor came in on the second boat, and I'm also descended from Captain Parker, who was there at Lexington. And I'm very proud of that. And my wife, Karen, as you know, did our genealogy, and she really looked it up for me. But they were not Calvinists. You know, so that's probably why the people that are talking about the Pilgrims, those that came over, they were separatists. There were two classifications. There were some that were separating totally from the Church of England, basically. And the other group from England that came over were the Puritans, because they were just trying to purify the Church of England. So you had one group that came over that were still called themselves the, you know, associated with the Church of England, the established church of the government. And they were just trying to purify it. And the other group, there were the separatists, and they were the ones that were the more hardcore. And I probably would agree more with their positions, but none of them were Calvinists per se.
But as far as the doctrine of election, which I believe...
Well, yeah, but I mean, there's more to Calvinism than election.
Yeah, well, that's true, too. But as far as election, first of all, let's distinguish between the races, that there are the sons of God, which are spoken of throughout the scripture. The whole world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. The sons of God, their spirit pre-existed in the heavens. We of the Adamic race are body, soul, and spirit. It's our spirit that has the potential for eternal life. The other races, the pre-Adamic races, and I realize that brings another topic up, but the pre-Adamic races are body and soul. They don't have that pre-existent spirit. At best, they can know God as creator, but they'll never know him as father, as the sons of God do, who are waiting for, the world is waiting for the manifestation. They'll be blessed when we come into our proper place. But now this is a large doctrine, but it's similar to animals, and I don't want to compare them to animals, but when a horse dies, their body and soul also, a dog has a dog soul and a cat has a cat soul, and of course they have the physical bodies. Well, when the pre-Adamic races die, they die. They live on through their genealogies, their offspring. And this is how they live on. But those who have who are the elect of Yahweh, the sons of God, have the potential for eternal life. And as I read earlier, he calls us. We don't choose him. He chooses us. So in a nutshell, that kind of covers it. But we do have books and doctrines on this. A very good book on that is Racial Difference, More Than Skin Deep, by Pastor Everett Ramsey. I believe we asked a donation of $8 for that book, which we published. Anyway, let's go on to another caller. I see that we have Clayton in Missouri. Are you there, Clayton?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, welcome.
Well, thank you. I want to ask you guys about Barack Obama. And what I'm finding out is, first of all, it's been pretty well established that he wasn't even born in America. He most likely was born in Africa in the nation of Kenya. And plus, his bloodlines are rather interesting. He looks like a black man, and he does have African blood. And I believe it's a sin for Israel to put a stranger over them like we've done, or the Jews have done to us. But what I'm finding out, and I'd like to hear from you guys, is his bloodline is pretty interesting in that I've heard from some sources that he can actually trace his bloodline back to King Herod, and that people are trying to cover this up and say, oh, well, he's got a lot of Arab blood in him, but, you know, that's as far as they'll go. But I'm beginning to think that the reason why he came up so fast and was put in office is because he is actually one of them.
I have heard that, but I don't know enough to really comment. Did you know about that, Ralph?
I'm unable to hear the callers. I know somebody's talking.
There's
but I
reportedly
can't
that Barack Obama had some bloodline traced back to Herod, who was an Edomite Jew, and that he has some Jewish blood in him. I have heard that, but I don't have the documentation. I was wondering if you did.
I can tell you two things that I know because I've been doing a lot of research on it. One, his alleged father, biological father, was a member of the, remember Jomo Kenyatta? When they were taking over from the British, they had the Mau Mau doing all these horrible atrocities, horrible, vicious atrocities, and Jomo Kenyatta came up with all these evil occult oaths that they'd have to take and these rituals, drinking all the blood and guts and all these horrible things. And
right, so, the Mau Mau, I believe.
Yeah, the Mau Mau. And the Mau Mau had joined with, that was the name of the organization in the Kenya. The main tribe was Jomo Kenyatta's tribe, but their second tribe that made them very powerful was the tribe that Obama comes from. And that tribe, okay, his father was a really hardcore Marxist, Stalinist, communist. Extreme Stalinist communist. And that's proven. I can prove that. I can document that. Now, I can also document that the father of his white mother over in Hawaii, his best friend was a black guy with a white wife, a black communist. And this black communist was a pervert, and he wrote a book, an autobiography, a pornographic autobiography. And in this autobiography, he describes how he had a 13-year-old girl that came to him allegedly and wanted him and his white wife, to teach this white girl how to have sex. And so for years, he and his white wife had all sorts of bizarre sexual encounters with this white girl. And if you read between the lines, there's no doubt that this would have been Obama's mother. So this guy is possibly the father. Now, Obama's wife, Michelle, her cousin, is the head He's the chief rabbi of the largest black synagogue in Chicago. So he's got connections with the Jews, for
that's
sure.
That's all very interesting.
Yeah, and this is all documented. This isn't stuff that's just on the Internet where you don't know. It's not something that's written. I can document everything I've said. Now, the other part
is... And, of course, as Clayton pointed out, that we're not to put the stranger, the knockery, over us.
That's against the
commandment. You can read that in Deuteronomy 17:14 through 15. And we're also told that a bastard, which... the Hebrew word is mamzer, meaning a mixed race, a mongrel,
right,
shall not enter the congregation. And the congregation there is more than just the local church congregation. It's the whole congregation, the whole body politic. And then we're also told that if we disobey Yahweh's laws, then a curse will come upon us. And one of those curses is that the stranger shall get up above us very high, and we shall come down very low. So a lot of this curse that's upon us is because of our own disobedience to Yahweh's law. Anyway, I do see that we have another caller. I'd like to thank Clayton and his call, and I'd go on to Tom in Mississippi. Hello, are you there?
Yeah, it's Tom in Missouri. Hello?
Hello. You're a little bit low. I can't. Can you speak up?
I'm Tom in Missouri.
Oh, Missouri, okay.
Oh, yes, in Revelation 13, there's a beast that comes out of the earth and a beast that comes out of the sea. I'm just wondering, I'm thinking more and more that the beast that comes out of the earth is Barack Obama, because it says that the two horns could represent the president and vice president, like a lamb, it could be a Christian nation, but he spoke like a dragon, which Barack Obama talks like Satan himself, so I was wondering what you thought of that.
Well, I myself don't get into prophecy a whole lot because I've seen so many false prophecies over the years, but there's no doubt that he is a curse upon the nation and may be used as one of the last curses that will bring us into the game as Babylon falls. Do you have more comments on that, Ralph?
I could hear a word.
I heard that he came out of, Barack Obama was born in Mombasa, Kenya, and then he went east to, with Indonesia, and they have documented proof that he was a foreign exchange student from Indonesia, and then he went east further to Hawaii. Did he hear anything about the documentation of the foreign exchange papers from Indonesia?
Were you able to hear that?
I couldn't hear a word.
Ralph?
I can't hear a word from the, I can barely hear you, Mike, and I can,
yeah,
can't hear the call.
Yeah, find out about the foreign exchange documents from Indonesia.
Perhaps your line can be turned up a bit. I don't know if that's possible. I'll repeat it to Ralph that he said that Barack Obama was an exchange student from
a foreign exchange
from Kenya and came to
Indonesia.
This country, and he believes that he's possibly fulfills prophecy as one of the beasts of Revelation.
Well, I wouldn't doubt that. Now there's definitely something. They're definitely hiding something on his background. They won't release it. His background, as far as where he went to college, what he did. Well, some of it is known, even the parts that are known, they don't discuss much. They've purged the records. I'm a freelance writer, but the full-time reporters that normally do this kind of stuff full-time and have all the resources and everything, they can't get in there and find out a thing. And certainly, I guess you know all about the birth certificate. And certainly his grandmother claims that he was born in Kenya and that she was, was there when his white mother gave birth to him in Kenya. And in Kenya, they built a monument in his little hut village where he came from because they're claiming him as the first president from Kenya to rule this, Latter-day nation. And of course, in my opinion, this, United States is this beast with horns like a lamb pretending to be a Christian nation. We've morphed from what we were founded to be, and we're something very different. And so, I, I don't know about specific prophecy, but I do know we certainly have the beast, the image of the beast speaking as a man. We've had that since Martin Luther King. And what the fulfillment is, I don't know, but certainly we have, you know, they say a shadow in theological terms. I mean, you can certainly make a case that they're fulfilling it, if not in the full fulfillment, but of a type.
Well, that's, I think if any, like I said earlier, I try to avoid prophecy because I just think
oh, yeah.
off by the false prophecy.
Yeah, I heard that, and I agree with you because, I mean, I might make a prediction in a, from a natural standpoint. And I will say this from my worldview, I've been pretty accurate in my predictions over the last 4 or 5 decades. So, I would say I got a
what
pretty good worldview.
What I was that if any part of prophecy is clear, at least in my view, it's Revelation 18, where we're talking about the kings of the earth fornicating with Babylon, and we're told over in Revelation 18:3, you know, for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings
of the earth
committed fornication. Merchants of the earth waxed in. And you go on and down into Revelation, and it just describes the current economic situation perfectly. So
we had a real life.
We have the prophecy that Christ gave, which says that in the end days there would be two signs, as in the days of Noah, which was race mixing. They were married
right.
and Mary, and Noah was saved because he was perfect in his generation. And then the other prophecy is as in the days of Lot. Well, that was thought of as
the queers, right?
Sexuality. So today there's no time in history that we have more both race mixing and homosexuality. So I do consider this as a fulfillment of prophecy. We had a call, but I see that we lost the caller there. So I invite the caller call back, and I'd invite the anybody else would like to participate in the program to call back. It's a toll-free number, 877-924-7722. That's 877-YAWS-RACE. I'll repeat it again, 877-924-7722. And I'm glad we got it back up and working tonight, and invite you to call in with your comments. We have, as my co-host tonight, Pastor Wickstrom was unable to be on with us, but I have Pastor Ralph Forbes. He's a longtime Christian Identity minister, and he was involved at one time in the American Nazi Party, which is interesting. Weren't you head of the state of California at one time?
Well, it's what they call the leader of the Western Division, which was like everything west of the Mississippi. But basically, it would have been mostly Los Angeles. We had units in Dallas and San Francisco and a lot of cities, a lot of small towns, you know, but the main activity was always Los Angeles.
That must have been exciting times. I think we have a caller, George, in Oklahoma. George, are you there?
Yeah, I just wanted
to
say that I recently stumbled across a website called JewishRacism.com. And it has a lot of information about World War II and the Holocaust and the whole fabrication of the history of World War II. So it's www.JewishRacism.com, RACISM. It is a gigantic
okay,
amount of information.
Thank you for that.
That's all I have to say.
Our listeners want to look that up. Ralph, you did some research on the Holocaust myth, haven't you? And,
oh, yeah. Oh, yes, absolutely. For example, Barack Obama just recently went and genuflected at Buchenwald, where allegedly his uncle or somebody liberated the survivors. Well, according to the Jewish sources themselves, there were no, quote, death camps within Germany. So Buchenwald, while the war propaganda said it was, it was so untenable that for more than 30 years now, the Jews have admitted there was no death camp there. They moved everything to Auschwitz, and they had to have their. It's actually It's a spiritual number. I'm talking about a satanic spiritual number of 6 million. And it can't be 5,999,999. It can't be 6,000,001. It has to be 6 million from their satanic theology. So they were always saying that 6 million Jews were sacrificed in the Holocaust. And it is the new religion. It's the new religion of the world.
They usually pull something pretty evil on June 6th.
Yeah, absolutely. Like the D-Day invasion was everything about D-Day was 666. Everything about the attack on the USS Liberty was 666. Six just shows up everywhere where these evil people are, and it is the mark of the beast. Can I plug one of my little websites? I've got one where I've got a real good thing on 666, and it's called www.peacemakersnow.org, O-R-G. And you just go down the little menu and find 666, and I think anybody who's interested in that will find it's pretty fascinating stuff I got on there. It's a lot of rare stuff on that website.
Okay, well, we invite the people to look up your website and the website the caller did. We have another caller, Brenda in New York. Hello?
Yes, hi. I was wondering, hi. The shortwave reception is pretty bad here. What is the name of your guest, Ralph Watt?
Ralph Forbes.
Forbes. Now, do you have a phone number for your organization, Forbes?
Ralph, do you have a phone number where people can call you, or should they write?
I
need to
give it out over the radio. I wouldn't mind giving it to the guest.
Or P.O. Box?
Could Jason give it to her, or could she just send me an email?
Yeah, or you can give her why don't you give her your P.O. Box? I believe it's P.O. Box 88 London. Arkansas, right?
Yeah, 72847.
72847.
Yeah, okay. Since I can't hear her, did she
and
get
what
that?
And what is the London?
Did she say London? If that's, yes, that's true.
72847.
72847. That's Arkansas, AR.
London, as in London, England?
Right, yes.
Okay. I have
first,
a question about, Obama's mother. Is she still alive?
No, she died. No, she died quite some time ago, his mother.
Okay.
His grandmother died recently.
Yeah, I have a comment about her. She looks like a Monica Lewinsky type. I believe that she was Jewish. You don't think so?
I've heard that she had Jewish blood. Ralph was speaking a little bit earlier of a possible Jewish connection. Do you want to comment further on that, Ralph?
Who are you talking about?
Barack Obama's mother.
The lady
Brenda from New York said that she had a Monica Lewinsky type look about her.
I think if this black communist who wrote his autobiography, he wrote it as a porn book. And then he later on admitted it was his biography of his own life. And anyway, he had this affair, long-term affair, starting with the girl was 13, of the daughter of his best friend. Now, his best friend was Obama's white grandfather. So it would have been the daughter. It would have been Obama's mother. And she was quite a piece of work. She was running off all the time, living with different communists of a variety of races, as long as they were dark. She was apparently brainwashed by some really cheap movie that she saw, but it got into her head, and her whole life was trying to live out this movie of some white woman that is the queen of all the niggers or something. And so she spent a lot of time.
Horse racing.
Yeah, yeah. She was definitely, whether she was a Lewinsky type, I don't know. And whether the family was, from the photographs, I didn't get any idea. They just looked like white liberal idiots. But I'm not saying they aren't Jewish because I don't know. Well, they don't.
Well, it's interesting that he's pushing the Jewish agenda to a great extent. That Rob Emanuel, the chief of staff, of course.
Now he's playing both ends. Now you remember what happened to Clinton? The reason with Lewinsky was Clinton. You know, I've known Clinton since 1974 on a first name basis. I know Clinton pretty well, and I know what he did. He basically told people, you know, I'm talking about back when he was governor, that he knew which side his bread was buttered on. And so he thought that power, the way to power, to him, he was quite right, is by buttering up with the Hollywood Jews who control so much and so much money in this country. And he did. But what he didn't realize was that over in Israel, you got other Jews that are rivals for world power with these New York Jews and the Hollywood Jews. And these are the fanatical people that were brought up on the, and I know you have this rare book, Mike, the Bible in the Hands of Its Creators.
Yes, I have
a copy
in the library.
Well, I thought...
They say in that book, they say that our God is their devil and their God is... our God is their devil and their devil is our God.
That's exactly right. And this guy, this Rabbi Gibbery, and it's also up at that website I just gave earlier of peacemakersnow.org. I've also got a whole bunch of pages from that book and a bunch of history on that. And Gibbery spent, this Rabbi Gibbery spent years living in the cave that was the burial place of the Sanhedrin that crucified Christ, which had the bones of the 70 rabbis that voted to crucify Christ. And he lived in that cave for years like a hermit so he could commune with their spirits. And that's when he wrote his book, the one we were just talking about, the Bible in the Hands of Its Creators. And this was a rare book. And his disciple went and took this rare book to all of the founders of the state of Israel. And this is their Bible. You know, it's even stronger than the Talmud. And it's like a latter-day 20th century Talmud for establishing the state of Israel and making sure the state of Israel can, according to the satanic rules, try to rule the world. And so all of these leaders of Zionism, especially the ones that are in power, like Netanyahu, he was nurtured on this book, on the philosophy of this book, which is pure, unadulterated evil. I mean, if you think that this Rabbi Gibbery, whether he was actually communicating with the souls of these dead Pharisees that crucified Christ, or he imagined he was, it doesn't matter. This is one crazy, sick, evil person. And as you quoted from his book, it's about 1,000 pages of purified, distilled evil. I don't know where.
Yeah, we have, like said in our library, we have a copy, but
yeah,
we do carry The Plot Against Christianity by Elizabeth Dilling. We have a paperback version. It's $15. It's a large book. And then we also have a few hardbacks of the original hardback left, which is 30. And that has photographically reproduced sections of the Talmud showing just what a vile religion that they follow, it talks about a lot of sexual perversion and every other kind of abomination. This is the Jews' actual worship book.
Okay.
I imagine up there in New York, Brenda, you see a lot of perverted Jews up there.
Oh, most definitely. I want to thank you for taking my call. What a fantastic show, and God bless you both. Bye-bye.
Yeah, you too.
Well, thank you. I actually heard that.
Well, great. The line's a little clearer now. You know that everything that we hear about World War II and Hitler and so on comes through the Jewish media.
Absolutely.
For the most part. The textbooks for the schools are controlled by the Jews, the radio and TV and movies and so on. So we have a very distorted picture of what took place in World War II. And I'm not a person who worships Hitler like some people do, but on the other hand, I know that the image that's put out in the Jewish press is completely false. You actually, on the other hand, Ralph, don't you believe that some prophecy was fulfilled by Germany?
Oh, yeah, I do. Let me say this. Anytime anybody says the truth about Hitler, they're accused of being a, quote, Nazi or of being a Hitler worshiper. I do not worship Hitler. I certainly have respect for him. I think that he was, at the minimum, at least a George Washington and Andrew Jackson, just a great national leader of integrity and character. I do know for a fact he was the last person that wanted war. He wanted peace. I know for a fact that in spite of what I think about Jews, he did not have a policy of exterminating them. He had a policy of breaking their political power, and he wasn't in particular after the little Jews. He was after the high Pharisees, the Rothschilds, the occult powers that rule the world, and include...
I believe the final solution was actually intended to move the Jews out of Germany and Europe to Madagascar.
Well, yeah, they were trying to find, like, Madagascar as an island, and they thought that would be... they just wanted to get them isolated. Because if you know anything about Jewish history, look in the Jewish encyclopedias or the History of the Jews by Grace, the classic works on it, the Jews themselves admit they're nothing but trouble no matter where they are. And whether it's race or whether it's the Talmud, you can argue, doesn't matter. They are a problem. And it would be better for everyone, including the Jews, if you separated. And I think that was the final solution.
Well, their nature is part of their genetic makeup. We discussed...
Well, I agree with that, but I know there's a lot of people
program.
Don't. See, a lot of people, they think it's just because of the Talmud, and I don't want to get into that fight as long as we agree they're all bad. But I believe that Jesus Christ said, ye are of your father the devil, he's a murderer and a liar from the beginning, and the lust of your father you will do it, John 8:44. And I think that that's true. They are hereditary liars and murderers.
That, yeah, it says the lust or the desires of your father you'll do.
Yeah,
and,
I probably didn't say
we're,
it right.
We're told over in Acts that they're children of the devil, and it says, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right way? And, it's their very nature. I know that we deal some with events that come in the news from a biblical perspective here. A couple of weeks ago, I was listening to the Bloomberg Financial News,
right.
And it said, they said, good news, as they are going into bankruptcy, GM is saving money by cutting employment.
Sure.
Now, that's a Jewish way of thinking. I mean,
absolutely.
Can you imagine that they came straight out and said it was good news that they were cutting employment?
No, I mean, what's important to them are imaginary numbers in a debit sheet and not real life, real people that have to eat and have a roof over their heads. Yeah. I mean, the real economy, the economy comes from the word Greek, managing your house, managing your home. And what we've substituted is this artificial Babylonian system of money based on debt and usury. Are you there?
Yeah, right.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
I thought
the phone went dead. We're under this system of mystery Babylon. And, I just read just recently this book, Babylon Woe, by a sailor, I don't know what he was, a captain, but this Commodore Astle, whatever, A-S-T-L-E, Babylonian Woe, it's a rare book, but he discovered, and he documents from all of the ancient records that they dug up in the, the clay tablets and everything, translations of them, that this mystery Babylon started out as far back, just the beginning, and that they've always had two things going for them. They would have the financial loaning policy was bigger than the king's, and their power was based upon making weapons, even if it was only brass spears, of mass destruction or whatever the weapon of choice was of the time. And that this was the industry. And the other industry they required was slavery because it was very difficult to get gold, silver, and iron and whatnot out of the ground. So they always needed more slaves, and they needed more wars to get more slaves. They were financing the kings in this mystery Babylon, what Eisenhower called the military-industrial complex, what we call the Federal Reserve System and the World Bank and the IMF and all this stuff, is exactly the same for the beginning of before recorded history. And this mystery Babylon has survived the Roman Empire, the Greek empires, the empires of Daniel, and survived the British Empire, and is bringing down the United States and all the other countries now. But I think that this time, there's no place for it to go to.
Henry Ford said that wars are Jewish harvest.
Exactly. Wars are the Jewish harvest. But I think that this time, I mean, I don't know, like, you know, I look for my own people. I say, where can I tell white people to go to escape? You know, there's no place on earth where white people have a legal or any real sanctuary. And, but on the other hand, the Jews, like parasites, they could kill their host and just migrate onto the next host. There's always some other civilization, some other country.
They've always overplayed their hand, and
exactly.
They have eventually been kicked out of many nations.
Can I ask you, do you know of a famous quote or a famous person that said what you just said, basically? I've been looking for this quote. It's driving me crazy, but I thought there's somebody like Napoleon.
Well, Henry Ford, you mean wars are Jewish harvest?
Well, I don't know. No, not the words.
Yeah,
Jewish
Henry
harvest.
Ford was the one who said it. In fact, we have his quote in our little tract on quotes by the Jews. It has a number of people quoted in there.
Well, the quote I'm looking for is that they always overplay their hand. They just.
But I believe he actually quoted a rabbi who earlier said it.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, I read that somewhere. I don't have the evidence of that, but I do have Henry Ford.
Well, it's one of those things, but I've just been looking and looking for, and I can't find.
They make money off of wars, you know, by selling the war industry. They kill their enemies, and then they use, in the case of recent wars in this country, they use the white Anglo-Saxon Israelite peoples of our nation to kill their enemies in places like Iraq, Afghanistan, various other places. So it is an ongoing problem, as you said, that's been so for thousands of years. I'd invite our callers to join us if you'd like to participate in the program tonight. We have a toll-free number, 877-924-7722. That's 877-YAWS-RACE, 877-924-7722. My co-host tonight is Pastor Ralph Forbes. And let me first give you our website, and then Ralph, you give your website. Ours is www.kingidentity.com. That's KingIdentity.com. And you can go to our website, different things. You can send for a information packet. If you like, you can leave your name with an operator tomorrow at 870-741-1119 and get an information packet, or you can write us at P.O. Box 1021 Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, Kingdom Identity Ministries. Ralph, you want to give some
context? Yeah, I'm glad you, because this reminded me, I got to put a link up on some of my sites to your kingidentity.com site. The one that I mentioned tonight, and I don't mention this to a lot of people because it's got such strong stuff on it. That's too strong for most people, but it's www.peacemakers, just like Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. Oh, yeah, that was already taken, so I had to use the word now. www.peacemakersnow.com or .org. .com is a little more milder for Judeo-Christians, and .org is a stronger... Get stronger material on that site, or more meat as opposed to milk.
So, I believe in the past you've held some, I don't know if you call them celebrations or memorials on May 10th.
Oh, yeah, World
I
Peace
believe
Day.
May 10th.
Yeah, for Rudolf Hess. I mean, that's one thing.
Rudolf Hess, who tried to have the peace during World War II, and then they threw him in prison. You want to?
Yeah, he got the worst punishment of all. They kept him in solitary confinement. He was not to hear his own name. They called him prisoner number 7. And there's a lot to that, too. And they held him in this horrible torture. You know, they wouldn't let him sleep. They starved him, kept him freezing. They taunted him. And it rotated in this prison where they had him, Spandau Prison, where the 1 month would be the Americans, 1 month the Soviets, 1 month the Brits, 1 month the French. And he never knew what was going to happen because a lot of he was a pawn in this world power game. And so he's very old, I don't know, in his 80s, when finally there was a possibility that, believe it or not, the Russians were going to let him loose, and the British were so afraid that if he was out and he got interviewed and what he said got world attention, it was just going to blow things apart. So the Brits went in and they had somebody strangle him. This helpless old man, I think it was in 1987, if I remember right, in August. And his only crime was he tried to stop the horrors of World War II. He wanted peace. And because he risked his life for peace, he got the worst treatment of any of the so-called Nazi war criminals. And that ought to tell a lot to anybody who's thinking. Another thing that you don't think about, here we got this horrible economic problem. Okay, Germany was unbelievably bad off. The money was so worthless that people would knock you in the head to steal your wheelbarrow full of money and dump the money out and take your wheelbarrow. You know, they were using the billion-dollar marks to keep warm, to burn in their furnaces. It was like in Zimbabwe just a few months ago, where you could have handfuls of billion-dollar bills and you couldn't buy an egg with them. And that's the way Germany was. There were people starving. There were people committing suicide. It was unbelievable how bad their economic system was when Hitler came into power. He didn't use communism. He used free enterprise. He used the genius of the German people. He got the hands of the Jews off of their money. And he got prosperity. He turned that into the most prosperous country in the world. They came up with all these inventions from our interstate system. They had colored television in the 1930s in Germany. They had, you can go on and on. While they were just prospering and everybody was happy, in the United States, FDR, people don't realize this. We had a depression under three terms of FDR up until 1941 when he got us into World War I. When he deliberately got the Japanese to attack our naval fleet at Pearl Harbor and sacrificed over 3,000 people in order to get the American people shocked into going into World War II. And the people...
Wasn't he exchanging telegrams with Churchill before that?
Oh, exactly, yeah. They said,
at the same time, yeah, he was...
And a good friend of mine, Tyler Kent, was working in the American Embassy over in London at that time, and he risked his life to be a whistleblower and get out the telegrams, and he got them to some of our U.S. senators, but it didn't, he really, unfortunately, didn't do any good. All was suppressed. But in these telegrams, they said, Churchill said, you know, my grandmother is American and she's Jewish and everything, and we're so much alike, you and I. Together, we can start this war and we can rule the world. And so they were definitely plotting. This was in the days before the war. They were plotting the war. They knew Hitler wanted peace. They were trying to figure out how to provoke him or how to start a war, how to get the American, because 80%, 88% of the American people did not want to get involved in any more wars. They knew we'd been lied to into World War I. World War I, not only did Wilson lie us into that war, but afterwards they had Senate committees, and the Senate committees said, and even Wilson had to admit it was only for economic reasons that we got into it. Just
well,
like,
I'm going to have to cut you off here because we're into the last minute of the program.
Oh, okay.
And I'd
well,
like
that
to
was
thank
a quick
you
hour,
for
then.
My co-host tonight. Hopefully sometime in the future you can join us again.
I wish I could have said something about that. I just got back from our guys that went over there and busted up the Bilderberg
okay,
meeting
we've got
over
20
in Greece.
Seconds left.
Pardon?
We got 15 seconds.
Oh, thank you.
So thank you, Ralph. And the message that puts it all together is this Israel identity message that puts the politics with the biblical truth, and we'd invite you to write us now to our closing message.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message and that you are fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a
CD
of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our cost plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602.
We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.